To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find my stuff online at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. That is how you spell my last name, so that's how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, too, after their .com/M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. And we have a Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can sign up for my mailing list at any of those places. There's a little sign-up button on the Facebook page. And there's a little box right at the top of Glow in the Dark Radio and mikeluoma.com. The sign-up box in the sidebar on the blog. And there's extra added incentive to join the mailing list. Not only do you get the free exclusive ebook that isn't available anywhere else called The Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, but all this month of July, you can also get in on a very special giveaway. I'm doing a contest where I'm going to give away a one-of-a-kind copy of The Glow-in-the-Dark Radio Guide to Life, a print copy. There's only one in existence, and it could be yours. But you have to be a member of the email list, and that's where I'm giving the information on how to win it. You've got to review one of my books or podcasts, be on the email list, and then you can win this exclusive print copy of The Glow-in-the-Dark Radio Guide to Life. More details to come. Our science fiction ghost story continues on Glow in the Dark Radio. As a matter of fact, a ghost just appeared on the bridge of Alibi Jones' ship as our last chapter ended, our last installment last week. We're into the meat of the short story that became part of the bigger novel. There's a lot more to come in the novel itself, in Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. But this is the main action in Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine, the short story that kind of has been folded into this novel. It's chapter 21 of Hornet's Nest. It's also the chapter where the action depicted on the novel's cover takes place, about 2.5 minutes into this chapter, as I'll read it for you today. Alibi and his crew are investigating an ancient alien wreck of a ship. One of the crew, Lenora Schwald, a psychic sensitive, subcontracting to the project, somehow had her brain wiped clean to the point it no longer functioned, and she died. So Alibi decided it was time to give up the investigation, but then another crew member, Emily Brown, appeared on the bridge asking Alibi if he believed in ghosts. She said she'd just seen a ghost of her former fiancé who had been killed 5 years earlier investigating this very same alien derelict before it disappeared for 4 years. And then a ghost began to appear on the bridge of Alibi's ship, an old safe-suited spaceman, made out of glowing greenish-yellow light. And the ghost begged them, "Don't let me die again!" That was our cliffhanger ending last week. We'll pick things up there in Chapter 21 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. There is a little bit of news. My books are on sale at Smashwords. You can get my ebooks for at least 50% off, and some of them are free. You can just go to smashwords.com and look me up, or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and follow the Smashwords link that you find at the top of the page. I put a special link up there for the duration of the sale. And as I was saying, be sure you join my mailing list to get in on the review contest to win a one-of-a-kind print copy of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. You get the Not Available Anywhere Else short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine. I'm not releasing it publicly because it's part of this novel now, but you can read the original short story in the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's also got a preview of Vacation, one of the Alibi Jones stories in the new comic book. There's a Federico Guillén cover gallery, so you can see all of his covers for the Alibi Jones books without any words plastered over the front of them. And I've got a preview of Federico's work on Good Samaritan number 2 in there as well. And speaking of previews, there's also preview pages from Red Hot number 3 from Juan Carlos Quatordio. Both of those books will be coming out later this year from Glow in the Dark Radio Comics. Plus, you can get a big chunk of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel. There's a couple chapters in there. And there are excerpts from the Vatican Assassin Index. That's the background materials of the Vatican Assassin trilogy. So you get a little look at the history of the future and the biography of Bernard Campion and the alien timeline. Glimpses behind the scenes. And all of those are in this exclusive ebook, The Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. And you get that ebook as a PDF just for joining the email list. It's an exclusive. So join the mailing list to get that. And you can do so again at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com or on our Facebook page or the blog. And then you could do a review of one of my podcasts or books. Let me know about it and win the print copy, the one-of-a-kind print copy of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, which I'm giving away. So join the email list and get all the details. All right, up next, I've got more of the adventures of Alibi Jones as we get into Chapter 21 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Have you heard of the Round Table Podcast? Here's how it works. We invite authors onto the show.
Welcome to the big chair at the round table, Sherry Priest, Tim Pratt, Gail Carriger, Seanan McGuire, Patrick Rothfuss.
We ask them questions.
What an excellent question.
You know, no one's ever asked me that question before.
These are great questions, by the way.
Wow, no one's asked me that before.
Then we invite writers on to present a story idea.
The genre of this story is a fantasy set in a space-like setting.
It's a superhero western.
It's a steampunk, dieselpunk fusion just because of the timeline that it's in.
It is a supernatural horror story with just a bit of a detective thriller peppered into it.
And then we workshop the story.
You're going to know what your ending is when you know what your conflict is.
Brian, I like your Sopranos meets Iron Punk meets Rome meets psychotic future killers. I think that's a great mashup.
Oh.
That makes a lot of sense, and I can't believe I hadn't thought of that.
Sure. I think that's a must. I love that idea.
And everyone leaves in a state of writerly bliss.
You guys have given me so much to work with right now. It's ridiculous. And
the ideas that I've gotten out of this today, there's the gears are just running. I've
spending this time with you guys has made it a whole lot more likely that this will get written.
The Round Table Podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, www.roundtablepodcast.com. The Round Table Podcast. Literary alchemy. One podcast at a time.
Now, here's Chapter 21 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Mac! Emily cried out. Peter McDonald? Alibi asked. The figure turned away from Emily, towards Alibi.
I...
The figure began to answer, paused.
I was!
It said. What do you want, Mac? Emily asked. The figure turned back her way.
I don't know him,
it said. Emily raised her hands to her eyes and forehead, covering her eyes with the heels of her palms. She let her hands sweep down over her face, then dropped them to her sides. Tears welled in her eyes, but she blinked them away. Mac, Emily began. Peter, you're dead. I saw... your body. What was left of you? Oh, God. She sobbed and turned away.
Then how is it I'm here now, Em?
The ghostly figure asked. You're not, Humphrey said, interrupting. You're some kind of hologram or something. There's no such thing as ghosts. I thought you believed in things you could see, Doc, Alibi asked, extending his hand to point out the greenish-yellow translucent man in their midst.
I believe we're seeing a creation of the alien ship next to us, Humphrey said. Nothing more.
That's not an alien, Emily said. That is Mac.
It is,
the glowing figure echoed.
It's me, and Em, I know. I mean, I can remember dying. The ship fading, pulling away, part of me with it.
He extended his arms.
Somehow I didn't die. I'm here, but
But, Alibi asked.
You're killing me again with your machines, Max said.
The transspace nullifiers, Emily said, explaining. He told me that in my cabin when he first appeared.
There, Humphreys said. See, it's a field thing. The alien ship is clearly trying to fool us into turning off the nullifiers. Probably so it can do to us what it did to Schwald. We should get out of here. Alibi, you were correct.
No, I don't want to lose him again, Emily said. She walked over to Mac and tried to touch him. He raised his gloved and glowing hand up to meet hers. They passed through each other.
You've already lost him, Humphreys said. That is not your Mac. But I am. I'm Mac, the glowing man insisted.
Alibi closed his eyes, at first to try to think things through. Then he decided to try his mental exercise and opened up the doors in his mind.
Are you there, Mac? Can you hear me?
He listened, but heard nothing. He opened his eyes. Mac's ghost still stood there on the bridge of the cruiser.
Excuse me, Cat said. I am sorry to interrupt, but the power drain is increasing, and now it is logarithmic.
Alibi looked over at Cat, and then Emily and Mac. He had to make a decision. He thought it over for a minute. Close the airlock and pull us away from the alien ship, Alibi said after his pause. I'm sorry, Emily. Mac?
Alibi?
Cat said his name like a question.
The airlock is closed. I have started the engines, and they have nearly full power. But we are not moving away from the alien ship.
What? Alibi asked.
We have power to the engines, and they are firing, but the alien vessel is moving with us, Cat said. We are not pulling away.
Emily, Alibi called to her, to your post. Get scanning the alien ship. We need to know if that thing is going to try to take off with us attached. Emily looked again at the glowing Mac in front of her, then tore herself away. She walked back to her station, sat down, and started checking through scanner readings. We're seeing that strange energy again, she told Alibi. But it's intermittent, not steady. Keep an eye on it, Alibi said. Let me know the second it gets steadier. He looked over at the glowing figure. Mac was looking around the bridge. Much as Alibi didn't want to admit it, Humphreys was probably right. There had to be a scientific explanation for their ghost. Alibi turned back to the cruiser's controls in front of him. He began an external visual check of the cruiser, flipping through views from the ship's outside cameras. A strange sight caught his eye.
Cat, call up Camera 4, Alibi said. What do you see?
Cat called up Camera 4's feed, a view of the ship's starboard side. The airlock of their cruiser was detached from the airlock built into the alien vessel. It was the thing next to the airlock that spooked Alibi.
What is that? Cat asked.
I don't know. Can't be good, Alibi said. It looked like the alien vessel had extended a tendril of the material the ship was made from and attached it to the side of their cruiser. The two ships were now joined by an arm of black, woven strands.
That must be the source of the power drain, Cat declared, siphoning our power through that arm.
Alibi? Emily piped up.
The exotic energy signature is still only sporadic, but I'm now getting energy readings inside of the alien ship.
I remember it all now, the glowing figure said.
Alibi, Emily, and Cat all turned to listen.
I remember the pain of being torn in two as the great vessel shifted into null space,
the translucent green astronaut said.
And then I was part of the great vessel. The pain was still there, but it became a small thing among so many others.
So, you're the ship? Alibi asked.
No,
the figure responded.
Yes, just a part of it, I think.
You're not sure? Humphreys asked. He turned to Alibi. This is a trick.
I don't know,
it said, answering Humphreys' question.
There are many, and one, but I did get us to come back here.
You came back? Emily asked. You brought the ship back?
I wanted to see you again, Em,
the glowing figure said, turning to her.
No, she said. She shut her eyes and turned her back on the apparition. You're not Mac.
I am,
the figure insisted.
Come on, Em.
That's it. Alibi jumped up from his pilot seat, course of action in mind. Going outside, he said. He left the other three and the ghost of Mac on the bridge. Alibi didn't want to reveal any more of his plans with part of the alien ship standing there to listen. At the cruiser's maintenance station, he grabbed a heavy-duty industrial laser cutter, a portable version of the ones they used in the shipyards to cut and shape ships' hulls. He made his way to the port airlock, donned an EVA suit, and, cutter in hand, exited the ship, emerging on the side opposite the alien craft. Alibi floated around the small bulk of the A.D. Foster. He spotted the arm attaching the alien vessel to their ship, about as thick around as a human being, and growing. Here goes nothing. He charged up the laser cutter, prepping the device.
What is he doing?
Alibi heard the ghost ask the others, over the comm. Alibi answered by turning on the tool. He began cutting into the arm, siphoning energy from his cruiser.
No!
The glowing figure cried out on the cruiser's bridge in a high-pitched voice. Mac? Emily gasped. She'd looked up from the scanner readings expecting to see her former boyfriend. Instead, the apparition now resembled Lenora Schwald. Schwald stood there, staring, her mouth agape in horror, just as she'd appeared when they'd found her body.
No!
That was Chapter 21 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. So now the ghost looks like Schwald? Alibi will get back to trying to free his ship from the alien siphon when we get back into his adventures on our next episode in Chapter 22 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Remember, there's a sale on all my ebooks at Smashwords. They offer ebooks in every format, so no matter what device you read your books on, you can get it there at Smashwords. Easiest way to find my books is to go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the Smashwords sale link right at the top of the page. Remember, you can win a copy of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, the print copy, the one of a kind, if you join the mailing list and review one of my books or podcasts. So join the mailing list today at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, or use the box on the blog, or hit the button that says sign up at the top of the Facebook page. You get an exclusive copy of that book as a PDF and ebook just for joining the mailing list. But the only way you can get this exclusive print copy is by joining the mailing list and then reviewing a book. More details in my next email. And that's going to do it for this episode. Our music, as always, by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.